The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
We are not at the edge of the abyss. We've already fallen over it. The darker the horizon grows, the deeper the denial of the majority manifests. It's the propensity of our species to avoid uncomfortable truths and unpleasant realities. Where has this self-destructive human trait led us? We're at the very threshold of near-term global extinction of most, if not all, life on our planet. If we continue on this course, will the human race wake up in time to change directions and avoid planetary omnicide? Time will soon enough tell. This is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org Radio, the Global Alert News Hour for February 11th, 2015. This show is a commercial-free one-hour news program paid for by GeoengineeringWatch.org because there's, again, as I state so often, far, far too much dire data to cover. Certainly no time for any breaks, commercial breaks on this show. It's broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the radio, recent and top stories sections, and at KQMS on the archives. As always, a reminder of the materials at Orchard Nutrition, materials that shine desperately needed light on the very dire vaccination issues that we're not being told about by our medical industrial complex or corporate media about 9/11, the false flag event that has altered the course of the world and fully unleashed the military industrial complex, and climate engineering, which is occurring over your head every day. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, the data is there to back that up. And we have, I can't disclose a lot, but we have another important military member that has joined our effort, a retired Air Force member, and he's not the only one we have. There are more and more people, and there are good men and women in the U.S. military that did not know these programs are going on, and they're waking up to it now. And we desperately need their help. We need others in the military to wake up and help us expose what is mathematically the single greatest assault on the planet ever launched by the human race. Highly toxic, unimaginably destructive to the atmosphere, to the global climate system, global geoengineering solar radiation management programs. Not the only cause of destruction. I'm not saying that. Many people interpret what I say in that manner. That's wrong. The human race has been unimaginably destructive to the biosphere, but climate engineering is the epitome of that destruction. Moving on, in regards to courageous people that are making their voice heard, we were made aware this week that branches of the Cavalry Chapel throughout, this was in Southern California, are actually aired the Vaxxed documentary last night. And they do so at the risk of losing their 501c3, because that's how the government controls institutions, by holding their 501 nonprofit at risk over their head. My deepest regard to the Cavalry Chapel groups, especially those that aired the Vax documentary. I'm hoping they will look at climate engineering issues. I've sent them a package of data today. I know one of the top people in Cavalry. He's a very honorable man I haven't spoken to for a couple decades, but I hope to again soon. I've tried to reach out to him now, and they're very honorable people and courageous people in that group, and I salute them for airing Vaxxed. And I hope other institutions, other spiritual institutions, follow suit and find their courage. And if those who are leading any congregation that anyone listening might be in, if your leaders are not addressing these issues, they are behaving very hypocritically. They are not fulfilling their obligation. Not to their congregation, not to the greater good. Hold them accountable. A few headlines. There's a lot to go through today. I'll get through as much as I can. I want to go through a few headlines, and we'll get to some more in-depth stories. Financial crisis continues, and don't let our artificially inflated stock market fool you. If you're bewildered by that, look around at some global stories that you're not being told about by our local corporate media. And that includes in Northern California. The Record Searchlight and KRC are the epitome of corporate media that tells you what they're told to tell you and nothing more. Headlines: Italy's banking crisis is even worse than we thought. The ship's going down all over the world. You can print all the money you want. The only wealth exists in natural resources. Printed money is not wealth. We're about to find that out the hard way. Another headline: World's largest container carrier, quote, unexpectedly has big losses in crushed industry, meaning the shipping industry. Now trade war with China looms. Why is the shipping industry slowing down? Because global trade is slowing down, and you would never know that by our stock market here, would you? That's at record highs, because they can put any number they want on a computer, and that keeps the American population pacified till the last possible moment. Another headline: cracks are appearing in Australia's trillion-dollar debt pile. Most Americans are very unfamiliar with the financial system that has created this delusion in which we live. The derivatives trading, which is the measure of most wealth that you see with numbers on a computer, derivatives are nothing. They're not any substance of all. There's no material wealth there at all. It's numbers on a computer screen, and that's what makes up most of the financial markets. Another headline: things will get worse until the U.S. stops lying about Crimea. Military-industrial complex on which the financial basis of this country is built at this point. I think 53% of GDP is going toward military endeavors. How long can that be sustained? The whole Crimea situation, Ukraine situation, Americans have not been told the truth. If you care about that, do some real investigating on your own. Another headline fits into that earlier headline: Germany sends NATO troops to Russia's Baltic borders as military dispute with Moscow escalates. Saw a parody article this week that said Moscow pushing for World War III, and the joke in the article was, why has Russia put its country so close to all our military bases? Think about what I just said. Why has Russia placed its country so close to our military bases? Obviously, we put our military bases next to their country, correct? As I've stated in so many shows, what would we do if there are military bases scattered all around the U.S., right up against our borders? Would we tolerate that for a moment? Absolutely not. But yet, Americans expect other countries to tolerate it. It's not about freedom. It's not about democracy. It's about empire. It's about hegemonic power. That's what it's about. Another headline: in call with Putin, Trump denounced Obama-era nuclear arms treaty. Doesn't sound like that's pushing toward any peaceful solution, does it? We were led to believe that from the Trump campaign. That's what made a lot of people lean that direction. Doesn't seem the case now. From that report, an interesting statement. This is from the report. When Putin raised the possibility of extending the 2010 treaty, known as the, quote, START treaty, Trump paused to ask his aides aside and wondered what the treaty was. That's alarming. That's alarming. I hope there's more informed decision-making going on in the White House than what it appears. Another headline: Dakota Access protesters vow mass resistance. They will be hard to stop. I hope that's the case, because that is the metaphor of taking a stand against the runaway military-industrial fossil fuel complex that's decimating the planet. And all of us who participate in that, anyone who participates in that or goes along with it or looks the other way, is a part of the problem. The Dakota Pipeline is extremely important. I've mailed some geoengineering materials there to one of the activists. We're still trying to get a sample back. We have not gotten that yet. We're trying so we can test the absolutely chemically nucleated material that's on the ground there. Highly toxic. A lot of people sick there. But I hope that they stand their ground as long as it takes. We'll support as much as we can from this end. We'll process a test from that site of the snow if we can receive a test, if it's sent to us. Another headline: veterans return to Standing Rock, not backing off pipeline protests. Again, this situation matters immensely, and I hope that everyone stands their ground on this. We're talking about the biosphere that supports us. That's what this protest is about. It's about the biosphere that supports our life. And I'll get to more headlines on that that are worse than dire in a moment. On the subject of water, let's weave this into climate engineering. Here's another headline. Quote, water scarcity in Pakistan, a bigger threat than terrorism. The climate engineers can shut the spigot off anytime they want. They can turn it on anytime they want. As an example to that, this week in Northern California, beginning in the week, when we were supposed to have 1 to 2 inches, we got, in my location, about 8. Later in the week, we were supposed to get 8. We got less than 2. Now, these kinds of fluctuations shouldn't happen with any type of forecasting that was based on any type of natural meteorological scenario. But when you have climate engineering going on that can manipulate the rainfall with the spraying of particulates, too many condensation nuclei that then can be manipulated with radio frequencies. And if you go to Geoengineering Watch and look at some of the posts we have on the radio frequency effect on the precipitation, that the images we have from satellite radar is profound. You have to see it to believe it. The weather systems are being completely manipulated. So back to the lack of water in Pakistan, just like every single country, as I covered in so many other shows, that's been toppled in the Middle East to expand U.S. hegemonic power, every single one subjected to a once-in-a-thousand-year drought before they were destabilized. If you think that's a coincidence, you're not living in reality. These programs exist. They're being exercised as a weapon of power all over the globe. Another headline. When you don't have enough water, you don't have enough food. So let's get into that aspect and why American shelves are stocked all the time when the rest of the world is starving. Here's the headline. Warning of dire food shortages in Horn of Africa. UN Agriculture Agency calls for urgent action. Africa's been being droughted out by NATO weather modification programs for decades. That's why so many African countries allow U.S. bases on their soil. They're simply forced to allow that. And I want to remind everyone again who thinks that these droughts are all related to climate change and global warming. A warming planet must have more rain, not less. Significantly more rain. 7% more moisture is held in the atmosphere for every degree C of warming. We should be experiencing deluges much more consistently, rainfall much more consistently, but yet we don't have that because we have a planet that's covered in a cocoon of toxic climate engineering particulates that thwart the hydrological cycle. That's what's going on. Another headline. UN needs $2.1 billion to avert famine in Yemen, one of the poorest countries in the world. What's going on there? Saudi Arabia is completely obliterating the country with illegal weapons like cluster bombs supplied to them by the UK, other weapons supplied by the U.S. And the Saudi Arabia wasn't even on this travel ban list. Saudi Arabia that we were told, which is a lie, but we were told that the hijackers for 9/11 came from Saudi Arabia. And I want to remind everybody that who was the only passenger plane allowed to fly after 9/11? 93 Saudis returned home. No interrogations, no interviews, no nothing, no questions. How much odor do we need from that situation to know what's going on? And by the way, anybody who, if you haven't looked at the data from 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth, almost 3,000 of the world's top architects and engineers stating on the record the total impossibility of the official narrative on 9/11, that these buildings just fell down, especially Building 7, never got hit by anything. This is all connected, all of this. So back to Yemen. I'm sorry I diverted course there, but back to Yemen. A country being slaughtered, and our country and the UK is a part of that. More headlines. Yemen's food crisis, we die either from the bombing or the hunger. Weaves into everything I just said. Another headline. Global food prices on sprint, up 16% in last year alone. Another headline. Egypt increases food prices for second time in 3 months. Let's add to this list, 80% of Bolivia's food crop in danger by a massive plague of locusts that is decimating crops in the country's agricultural heartland. From that report, Bolivian President Evo Morales is declaring a state of emergency to fight a plague of locusts that is decimating crops in the country's agricultural heartland. Morales announced the decision Wednesday last week as a part of a contingency plan. It includes nearly $1 million in additional funds for fumigation. How much good has that done us so far all over the world? Continuing from the report, officials say the swarm of locusts first appeared 2 weeks ago about 60 miles south of the eastern city of Santa Cruz. The plague of insects has spread rapidly and is now about 18 miles from Bolivia's largest city. Bolivia's Eastern Agricultural Chamber estimates more than 2,700 acres of corn, sorghum, and beans have already been destroyed by the locusts. Authorities fear the locust will reach the breadbasket region that supplies more than 80% of Bolivia's food unless there is extensive fumigation. When we fight nature, we fight ourselves. When we started using pesticides in the 40s, we used them before, but in the 40s there was about 12 known pesticide-resistant pests. Now there's some 650, something in that range. They adapt. Nature adapts. And man's war on nature, as I've said over and over and over again, is a war on himself. So what do? We fumigate the land. We poison the land and think somehow that'll help us in the long run. Nature's had enough in many ways. Later in this broadcast, I'll give an update on the most recent global weather warfare, which is biological warfare because of the toxic elements, the assault that's taking place against humanity and the entire web of life, leading to much of what I just covered. Also, as I've stated in numerous shows, the food shelves in the U.S. are kept stocked up continuously in order to keep the U.S. population oblivious to biosphere collapse until the last possible moment. So where's all that food coming from? If you think it's all grown here in our increasingly unproductive, climate engineering-contaminated farm fields, think again. Here's a headline. The U.S. trade deficit for fruits and vegetable products. This is a summary from the agricultural policy. This is a recent summary of where these fruits and vegetables are coming from. Here's from that report. Over the last decade, there has been a growing U.S. trade deficit in fresh and processed fruits and vegetables. Although the U.S. fruit and vegetable exports totaled $6.3 billion, in 2015, the imports of fruits and vegetables were $17.6 billion. We're importing over three times more than we're exporting, resulting in a gap between imports and exports of $11.4 billion. This trade deficit has generally widened over time. It's widening much faster now, by the way, as growth in imports has outpaced export growth dramatically. As a result, the United States has gone from being a net exporter of fresh and processed fruits and vegetables in the early 70s to being a net importer. That's why we have foods on our shelves, because we can afford to pay poor countries to send their food here so that our shelves are stocked when they're starving to death. That's exactly what's going on. So when people are completely living in a delusion because they can't imagine anybody anywhere could be doing without, because we walk into stores here and there's food everywhere, if you think that's going to continue indefinitely, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. It's coming, and it's coming very quickly. And our power structure, our media, is doing everything they can to keep the population distracted until the last possible moment. I'm sorry to say that the Trump administration so far, and everybody talks about give it time, give it time, we can still judge on what we've seen so far, can't we? Why would we think it's any different? Why would we think that the drama that Americans fall for again and again and again, election cycle after election cycle, why would we think it's any different? Creating mass division, confusion, chaos, distraction, so that all the things I just outlined, a planet that's imploding, a biosphere that's imploding, the ability of that biosphere to support populations imploding, and everything possible being done to import as much as possible to keep those shelves stocked until the last possible moment, all of that's going on. And so the current political chair maneuvering on the deck of the Titanic goes on, and Americans fall for it again and again. How are the pollinators doing? This is a Trump-related story, I'm sorry to say again. How are the pollinators doing in our country and the world? And the answer is not good, and it's getting worse by the day. And here's a headline from yesterday. Quote, Trump's new EPA boss denies climate change and loves pesticides. From that report, Chicago. And a last-minute reversal of fortune that could push the rusty patch bumblebee, another pollinator, beyond the brink. Federal protections for the first bumblebee to be listed as an endangered species were frozen due to a Trump administration order just one day before the listing was to take effect. Now, what possible benefit would they have by not listing this species other than to protect corporate America? That's what it's about. Business as usual until there's nothing left. Grinding up nature for profit until there's nothing left. And that's where we're headed. No pollinators, no fruits, no vegetables, no people, eventually. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, this is from the report also, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's freeze on the bee's endangered species listing is the result of an order by the Trump White House instructing agencies to withdraw or freeze a broad array of rules that protected the bees. Why would they do that? What possible rational, logical reason other than to protect corporate America? Another headline, monarch butterfly numbers dropped by 27% in Mexico. And that's 27% over the already 50% or so they've dropped. So it's deceiving when you see a headline like this. It doesn't tell the whole story. And by the way, on aquatic and terrestrial insect life in Northern California, about a 90% drop. Do you wonder why your windshield's not covered with bugs anymore? Because there isn't very many bugs. That's why the birds, the bats, all dying also. There's nothing for them to eat. If the bugs can't survive, how long will we survive when we have the entire planet being blanketed with climate engineering fallout and now Fukushima, which I'll get to in a moment? We are literally destroying the planet's ability to support our life at a speed that is incomprehensible. Here's a headline from Fukushima. This is from last week. And this is from Fox News, by the way. For those who feel Fox News is somehow the oracle of truth, which is not true. In this particular case, they're having to cover some harsh truths because they can't hide it anymore. The same with climate engineering. That's why that will be known soon enough, because they can't hide it any longer. Here's the headline from Fox News. Radiation at Japan's Fukushima reactor is now at, quote, unimaginable levels. From that report, the radiation levels at Japan's crippled Fukushima nuclear power plant are now at, quote, unimaginable levels. Adam Housley, who reported from the area in 2011 following the catastrophe, triple meltdown, said this morning that new fuel leaks have been discovered. Certainly, they likely knew this was there all along. We really had enough data to know that these meltdowns occurred immediately, but we were lied to. As we're lied to about everything until they can't hide it any longer. And the Americans, too many of them, I'm very dismayed to say, want someone to lie to them. They want someone to tell them that everything's okay, go about your personal pursuits of pleasure, and don't have any regard for the common good. Too many want to buy into that sort of scenario, and that's why we're in this dark place. Continuing from that report, critics of the official reporting on Fukushima, including the U.S. military in 2011, have long questioned whether Tokyo Electric Power, TEPCO, and officials have been providing accurate information on the severity of the radiation. Why would we even ask that question? Of course they're lying. That's what all governments and official agencies do. They lie about everything. I've been over that week after week, show after show. The reporting I did last week, by the way, the full post from the now-fired EPA scientist, fired for trying to tell the truth, that's what these agencies are about. We don't have governments or countries with governments. We have governments that own countries all over the world, like different fractions of mafia families. That's what we have. And their agencies, corporations, and so forth, are designed to hide the threats from the population, not disclose them. The report continues. TEPCO maintains that the radiation is confined to the site and not a risk to the public. It's expected to take at least $300 billion with a B and four decades to fix it. Why would we think there's anything accurate in what they just stated? How could the radiation possibly be confined to the site? Who would believe that? The same people who look up and believe we're seeing condensation in our skies might believe this, but no rational thinking person would believe this. There is no technology to fix what has happened to Fukushima, and we're building many more nuke plants right now. We're putting formerly offline nuke plants back online. that are just as dangerous as Fukushima was. And I want to remind everyone, the Stuxnet virus created by Israel and the U.S. is what is thought to have disabled the safety measures at Fukushima, creating this disaster to begin with. We have a nuclear cataclysm, triple meltdown, with no technology to fix it, no end in sight at this point ever, because we have no such technology to fix melted nuclear cores that are burning their way into the planet and have already reached groundwater. This is a cataclysm unfolding. I want to finish this report. Huxley said small levels of radiation are still being detected off the coasts of California and Oregon. Small levels of radiation based on what? Based on their new standards of, quote, safe radiation that they raised by about 10,000% after Fukushima. And that figure is not hypothetical. That's what they were raised. They shut down the nuclear detection sites after Fukushima, and then they raised the safe limits. So now what was horribly unsafe is now safe. So they call it a small radiation level. And scientists fear it could get worse. We're back to the same story I've been over many times in the past. When scientists say it could get worse, do we need scientists to tell us, for example, if we jump off a 100-story building, that we could get hurt? And that's about how infantile some of these statements we have coming from academia are. Of course it's going to get worse. How can it not get worse? If it's spewing radiation, there's no end in sight, no technology to fix it, how could it not get worse? Academia has sorely let down the population, and the population is all too willing to be let down because they don't want to know the truth in too many cases. Well, let's hope that changes. Final statements from this report. The 530 sievert reading was recorded some distance from the melted fuel. So in reality, it could be 10 times higher than that recorded. It takes a few sieverts of radiation to kill people. We're talking about readings that may be 1,000 times higher than that. It's going into the air. It's going into the oceans. This is an absolute cataclysm. We have nuclear plants all over the globe. And what happens when the power goes out to those plants? We'll have many Fukushimas. The human race has painted itself into an unimaginably dark corner, and yet we have most of the population in industrialized first world nations living as if this sort of party can go on forever while the environment crashes around them. This must change if we're to have any chance of survival. The most important population of all to wake up, the most important counterbalancing potential power of all is the U.S. population, if they would wake up and face reality. And about the dying of the oceans, as dire as Fukushima is, the die-offs we see happening all over the globe are not just a result of Fukushima. Absolutely not. Not downplaying Fukushima by any stretch, but these immediate die-offs we see when fish float up and cover beaches everywhere are most likely the direct result of seabed gassing from oceans that are superheating, deoxygenating, thawing and releasing formerly frozen methane hydrate deposits on the seafloor. That releases hydrogen sulfide with that, deoxygenates the water again, and everything goes belly up. We also have military maneuvering going on in our oceans, sonar that has caused a story which I'll get to in a few moments, one of the most horrific whale beachings that happened this last week in New Zealand. Nearly 500 whales now. This is happening every week, constantly, sometimes every day, all over the globe. And people are oblivious. So we have many, many factors contributing to the die-off in the oceans along the North American West Coast, which I outlined a week ago, or perhaps the show before that. Total shutdown of fisheries, total collapse of fisheries, salmon industry collapsing. But we also have, as I've stated before, the U.S. Navy using depleted uranium, highly radioactive ammunition for practice off the North American West Coast. How good can that be for the fishing industry or the oceans? Lots of factors affecting the oceans, not just Fukushima. All of it's coming together. Now, what's affecting us? Let's get to that. And here's a headline that should be shocking. And as I've been over again and again, these heavy metals coming down in our breathable air column, a primary metal being aluminum, that's showing up everywhere, including in the bees. We have peer-reviewed study for bees now. Anyone can search bees aluminum. They'll find those studies. Bees are packed full of aluminum. It's killing them. Bumblebee study now, also packed full of aluminum. Whales, you can search whales, aluminum, and you'll find a peer-reviewed study of 1,000 whales from all over the globe packed with aluminum. It's floating down through the air column. It's part of the climate engineering programs, and it's being absorbed by all life. So here's the headline. from the UK. Dementia overtakes heart disease as the leading cause of death in the UK. That should be shocking, absolutely shocking. And the stats in the US are likely very similar, but the CDC is not painting a clear picture of what's happening here. Dementia, a neurological disorder known to be connected with aluminum exposure, now the leading cause of death in the UK. From this report, diseases related to the brain health, such as dementia and Alzheimer's, are now more fatal than any other illness in the UK, according to its Office for National Statistics. Dementia recently overtook heart disease as the top cause of death for inhabitants of England and Wales, according to a recent BBC article. Final statement from that report: while we all know that dementia is on the rise in the United States as well, these alarming statistics out of UK clearly point to a serious problem for modern society, and our current, quote, sick care model for medicine is ill-equipped to help. We are all getting dumber by the day. We're all absorbing these materials that are coming down in the air column. Lab tests from all over the globe prove it. We have some 70 tests in California alone. We've had escalations of aluminum in our precipitation, which means it's in the air column. In Northern California, tests processed at the state-certified lab that escalated, in some cases, in a single rain event, as much as 50,000% from an already high baseline test that contained aluminum. There are unimaginable amounts of metal coming down in our air column, and our legal team is working on how to get through the system that has been set up to block any sort of legal effort to expose this contamination. And we have agencies hiding this contamination with people that some of us in the North State know that work for these agencies that refuse to behave honorably, refuse to fulfill their responsibility to the population and to the planet by helping to expose this contamination. And we will make every effort to expose the fact that we have agencies hiding a massive heavy metal contamination, not just in California, it's all over the globe. But we will put our effort and are putting our effort into the North State and the agencies that we know are hiding this. We're working diligently on that effort every day. I had a very long conference call last night with our attorneys group on this issue. We are working on it constantly. But we need to have a boat that floats. We need to have a legal action that sticks. That's what we're working on. We need everybody's support in the meantime, by the way, because the efforts to expose this contamination that's wreaking havoc with human health and the environment, we need everyone to help us reach a critical mass of awareness. So if you're sitting on a bench waiting for us to move the ball up the field, you're making a big mistake and you're harming this cause. We need everyone to help us sound the alarm now, not later. Another headline: vitamin D could be key to reducing dementia and Alzheimer's, study says. Vitamin D, of which, according to study, 98% of Americans are deficient in. What do we synthesize vitamin D from, or what do our bodies make it from? Sunlight. What do we have happening in our skies? The intentional effort to block sunlight as part of a solar radiation management plan. We are told to deflect some of the sun's incoming thermal radiation to slow down a runaway greenhouse effect. All available data indicates after 70 years of climate engineering, it's making a very horrific climate situation far worse, not better. And we know, in fact, climate engineering is being used for weather warfare. And again, it's blocking the sun, reducing our ability to make vitamin D, which adds to the fact that we're already inhaling these toxic metals and materials. And now we have not enough vitamin D, also a result of climate engineering. And the light that does get through the particulates, light scattering particulates, that's what they're designed to do, is a different light wavelength form. We don't even have study to determine what this is doing to us. So from every direction, from every conceivable direction, the greatest and most destructive assault ever unleashed by the human race against the human race and against the web of life is climate engineering. Vitamin D, again, lacking and a contributing factor to the explosion of dementia, Alzheimer's, and other neurological disorders. Who's the biggest landlord in the world? Here's another headline. Behind the military-industrial complex, behind climate engineering, who do we have? The Pentagon is the world's leading landlord. Not saying that the U.S. military is the only person, only entity participating in climate engineering. China, Russia, all the major powers are involved, whether actively or passively. They're all colluding. They're all collaborating. The Senate document We posted at geoengineeringwatch.org from the 70s, 750 pages long, outlined that cooperation between normally opposing powers cooperating on climate engineering, weather modification, because there's cross-border ramification. You can't affect the system anywhere without affecting it everywhere. We see nothing left alone now. The weather makers have their hand in everything. The entire system all over the globe is completely disrupted. We see cloud formations on NASA satellite imagery that's shocking, startling, all over the world with radio frequency transmissions mixed in. It's the signature herringbone patterns in the sky that is not the result of topography underneath, as the Weather Channel paid liars would tell us. We see the same patterns over the middle of oceans, which completely destroys their official lie about how these herringbone patterns is there. And we have radio frequency transmitters over the ocean because we have SBX radar, sea-based X-band radar, part of the radio frequency manipulation. So back to who runs the world, the military-industrial complex, who's the largest landlord in the world, the Pentagon. And from that report, in the United States alone, the DOD occupies 1.9 billion square feet of office space, about three times the floor space of all the nation's Walmart stores combined, or 10 times the office space of all Los Angeles. That's unfathomable. Worldwide, DOD has more than 2 million people working on 5,000 sites in countless countries. That's what empire is all about. And that push for empire is killing the planet and it's killing us. I want to repeat for the record that the military men and women, U.S. military men and women that have honorable motives, that are participating in whatever they're told to do, just following orders, I'm pleading with you to wake up and understand that what you're being told is for the greater good is anything but. If you're participating in climate engineering, for example, you are participating in the demise of your own future and your children's future. I'm asking you to wake up. Climate engineering is used as a weapon. And on that note, what happens to countries who don't bow down to the hegemonic push that's happening with our country and our military? The Philippines, the president of the Philippines, that has had enough of what has happened to his country and the impact of the U.S. military complex on his country, and has told the U.S. military complex to leave his country. What happens? Again and again and again, hurricane after hurricane after hurricane, even in the winter, continues to slam the Philippines. And when we know they can suppress hurricanes or augment hurricanes, and the U.S. hurricane drought, I've given us proof of that over and over. We have an 11-year ongoing major hurricane drought in the U.S. because the U.S. is suppressing those hurricanes while they're up 300% around the rest of the globe and much stronger. How can that be without intervention? And for those, again, who think that's a wonderful thing, they're keeping hurricanes from forming in the Atlantic Basin, that's part of the reason why the oceans are dying, part of the reasons why the ozone layer is destroyed. You can't interfere with nature and get a bad result. But back to the Philippines, back to the president of the Philippines and his unwillingness to go along with the dictates of the U.S. military-industrial complex, he is suffering the consequences. Here's a headline from last week, yet another impact. Humanitarian disaster unfolding as nearly 200,000 people in the Philippines remain displaced by flooding after tropical depression strikes again. Over and over and over. That's what happens to countries who don't toe the line. Pakistan 2010, slaughtered with record flooding immediately after refusing to go along with U.S. policy. Thailand, 2011, refused the U.S. an airbase that they knew was for weather modification, immediately buried in record flooding. It goes on and on and on. Weather is the primary weapon of the military today, and it's being used against the American people at this point because the American population is an ever-increasing liability to the power structure. If you don't believe that, you haven't done your research. How's the temperatures overall? I want to get into the disintegrating biosphere, recent headlines, because as I've stated over and over, economic numbers mean nothing. Job percentages, employment percentages mean nothing. You can print all the money in the world and fake all the statistics in the world. If the biosphere doesn't support life, that's it. Game over. And for those who believe there's nothing wrong with the climate, you have not done any real research. I say that with complete confidence. Here's a headline. A horrifying three-day heat wave hits Australia. This is from last week, East Coast. From that report, the Australian energy utility AEMO ordered a series of rolling blackouts affecting 40,000 customers in Adelaide as the city sweltered in 40 degrees C plus temperatures. I believe that's about 112, 115. Because the distribution network was in danger of being damaged by high loads at the user end and had insufficient supply. Dr. Sarah Perkin-Kirkpatrick, a researcher at the Climate Change Research Center, said, quote, "This developing heat wave is nothing short of horrifying." She added, "Much of eastern Australia has seen heat wave after heat wave after heat wave this summer, with some seasonal records already shattered by the start of February. Nighttime temperatures have been far too hot for adequate sleep, and daytime temperatures have been searing. What is particularly concerning about the development of this event is the intensity, where many regions will see a string of extremely hot days with little or no relief. Much of South Wales and Queensland and northern Australia will suffer the most, where temperatures will be the hottest and follow no reprieve from the previous heat waves. It's important that everyone tries to stay cool," goes on to give whatever warnings they give. We're talking about uncharted territory, absolutely uncharted territory. Let's get back to the U.S. now. What's happening here? This happened this last week also. Here's a headline. New York City forecast, record high temperature, then snow. From that report, the Big Apple is taking a ride on a two-day weather roller coaster. Temperatures are forecast to hit a record-breaking 65 degrees early Wednesday, and then to plummet to freezing by the end of the day, as a major storm system brings 4 to 8 inches of snow. How does that happen? How do we go from temperatures in New York pushing nearly 70 degrees on the ground? The official high was 65, which obliterated the former all-time high record for the day. Temperatures on the ground actually near 70 by some reports. How does it go to that type of temperature to snow in less than 24 hours? And the engineered winter events are theatrically named by the Weather Channel and are generally carried out over the most populated regions of the country. This creates the maximum impression of winter on the most people. The corporate media then hypes up these events as much as possible. The most recent named engineered winter storms were Maya and Nico. How many deaths have the ongoing global weather warfare atrocities already caused? Directly or indirectly, we will never know. And I'm not just talking about traffic deaths from chemically ice-nucleated material that coats roads and causes those. Respiratorily, neurological disease. How many deaths have these programs already caused? Those in power running these programs will not admit to them ever. They know the liability they have created is already incalculable. If the public finds out, and they must find out, it's up to us to take to the streets and bring this issue to light, all of us, to expose what amounts to planetary omnicide in our skies. I want to continue with the Weather Channel here because they're one of the primary sources of disinformation. They're corporate-owned, Bain Capital, Blackstone. Weather Channel is a corporate-owned entity. All the major weather dissemination, all corporate-owned. I want to remind the listeners again, federal gag order. Illegal federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees. Our attorneys are trying to get to the heart of that issue with more data, but that's recorded fact. Federal gag order. You can look that up, and you can see the peer documents, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. I was sent that gag order in the mail when it first happened. No return address, no explanation. It was just sent to us so we would help get the word out, and we did. That's why we're not hearing about this. Everybody's muzzled and remaining silent while the whole planet goes down in flames. From the Weather Channel, Weather Channel headlines, tornadoes and snowstorms along with record thunder snow. Think about that. How many people historically, meteorologically, thunder snow was really unheard of. Very rare and likely even in past decades associated with conditions that were unnatural due to weather modification. But now the weather modification is so aggressive and so total that thunderstorm is now normal. And we now are told it's normal to have a warm side to a winter storm and a cold side. One side has thunderstorms and tornadoes. The other side has blizzards. If you think that's normal, You're not living in reality. Watching the Weather Channel paid climate engineering cover-up actors is truly profound. They go to great lengths to try to explain away the completely engineered weather as being all just, quote, Mother Nature. As the engineered weather whiplash increases, so will the level of lying from power structure-owned disinformation sources like the Weather Channel and official agencies as well. The commercials that break up the Weather Channel broadcasts are generally a mix of advertisers for products to treat asthma, allergies, COPD, etc., all respiratory issues. And I realize we have a tremendous amount of pollution being put into the air, but mathematically, the particulates that are being intentionally sprayed, intentionally dispersed into our atmosphere, and we have film footage to prove this for those that are new listening to the show, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and click jet spraying category at the top. You'll find lots of videos up close. No denying these aircraft are spraying. The amount of particulates from this spraying is likely the single greatest contributing factor to the explosion of respiratory issues, not to mention the neurological issues, which I already talked about. All of this is coming down through our breathable air column. There's also polymers, other metals, all part of the patents for the climate engineering programs. The greatest elephant in the room that is not being acknowledged by any official source, any media source, because it's a very bad career decision for anyone in those sources to talk about this issue, period. So we press on with the destruction of our climate system and our biosphere, climate engineering programs wreaking havoc. And what do we see when storms approach? On the West Coast here, I can tell you what we see. For 2, maybe 3 days before the quote-unquote storm arrives, not organized as they have historically been, very defined low-pressure zones in the Pacific circulating and coming in, we see large drifting masses of heavily aerosolized moisture. So we see amorphous skies with very little wind in the day or two or three before a storm, featureless skies. If you look closely, you can see the jet dispersed aerosols being sprayed into this mix, and they expand out. Radio frequencies help this expand out to cover the entire sky, to literally blanket the sky. And that's what solar radiation management is all about. To block the sun, to block the skies. Regardless of the consequences, the pharmaceutical approach to planet Earth, and we are told to help cool the planet, the truth couldn't be further from that conclusion. Climate engineering is worsening an already bad climate scenario. So after these amorphous skies, typically the rain will start slowly, dripping, pick up pace. We'll get, there's showers in between. I'm not saying there's not deluges in places. There's no absolutes here. But I'm saying overall, the patterns are very, very different than we have ever seen historically. And they get worse and worse. The amount of white skies we see is more and more consistent. And what do we see when the clouds begin to break up now? All too often, if you look up, you see a total canopy of white. There are exceptions. This is a day-to-day process. These operations require constant application for them to accomplish what they're doing. So yes, there are breaks in that. We do see sun sometimes. But how truly blue is that sky? In commercials, in movies, videos, how much blue sky do you see today in anything that's filmed recently? And I know professional camera people that say they can't find a clear sky anymore, almost ever. How long can this continue? For those that don't know it or have never heard it, there is a scientific term for what is happening in our skies. It's called global dimming. There's a very informative BBC documentary addressing global dimming on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. This documentary does not directly make mention of the climate engineering insanity, although if you watch this film, I think it's very clear the filmmakers knew from some of the footage they show exactly what was the single greatest contributor to global dimming, the aircraft aerosol spraying operations, but they do not directly address it. That's part of the power structure. They're not allowed to address it. I know this. I've had communications, I've stated in previous shows, from New York Times reporter, BBC, the National Geographic, RTTV, none of those attempts to interview ever reached fruition because they were shut down. They were not allowed to interview me from geoengineeringwatch.org on this issue, because this is not a subject that the power structure controlled institutions are allowed to address credibly, only to marginalize, only to try to hide the issue. In the case of a National Geographic reporter who I had three long conversations with, about 3 hours in total, who knew this was going on, was going to try to weave it into the dying of the trees story, was shut down completely. And this is why we have so much willful blindness in the American population, because they're looking for answers from these official institutions who are not allowed or not going to give you those answers ever. So back to global dimming, the express goal of solar radiation management is global dimming, to block the sun. And you can watch a BBC documentary on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org that you would find extremely interesting, anyone would. And here's what we have from a report on global dimming. This is from one of the definition sites on Google. Global dimming is defined as a decrease in the amount of solar radiation, exactly what solar radiation management is designed to do, yes, reaching the surface of the Earth. The byproduct of fossil fuels are tiny particles or pollutants which absorb solar energy, and thus reflect back sunlight into space. That is the express goal of solar radiation management. That's what the patents state. That's what the film footage shows. The blocking of the sun with sprayed jet aircraft nanoparticulates. Everything described here, but we have every official institution, again, ignoring the geoengineering elephant in the room that's wreaking havoc on the planet. Finishing one paragraph from this definition. This phenomenon was first recognized in the year 1950. Scientists believe that since 1950, the sun's energy reaching the Earth has dropped by 9% in Antarctica, 10% in the USA, and 16% in parts of Europe and Russia, and 30% in parts of Siberia, putting the overall average drop at an enormous 22%. 1950, when have we stated data shows clearly these programs were ramped up? 1945, and they were really metering in 1950. All of this connects. On next week's show, I don't have enough time today, I will go into more depth on global dimming. Look it up, find out what it means, watch the documentary. I'll go into more detail next week on exactly where we're at on that front. About the dead whales being stranded again, I don't have time to cover that story fully here, but it's absolutely heartbreaking. I hope many look that up and investigate what's happening in New Zealand, happening all over the globe. I want to sign the show off with some direction. What are our priorities as a species? What are we spending our time and our energies on while the biosphere, on which all of our lives depend, is virtually imploding on every front? Official reports state that last weekend's Super Bowl drew about 113 million viewers. How many in our society are willing to even take the time to educate themselves on the converging catastrophes that are closing in on all of us, let alone to attempt to do anything whatsoever to help avert those catastrophes? All of us have very ingrained ideologies and biases, programming and preconceptions that we've picked up along the paths of our lives. In many cases, this programming is all but hardwired into our perceptions, and such individuals respond to unpleasant truths, or anyone who tries to present those truths, with anger and aggressive denial. The unspun truth is unimaginably frightening to them. We must all constantly examine our own driving motivational force. Is it to utilize our own free will to the best of our ability? Are we convinced that we are all here for a purpose that is much greater than any personal pursuit of pleasure? If we claim to care about our children, about their futures, don't we have a responsibility to show our caring by our actions and not simply with our words? Clearing the lens through which we see the world is an immensely difficult task. It can only be accomplished by those that are completely committed to accomplishing this all-important task. Waking up family, friends, and associates is a process. Cornering people and ranting at them in a panicked tone is more often than not completely counterproductive. Carefully passing on measured doses of credible information, perhaps in the form of a well-thought-out informational flyer with visual aids. We have those in geoengineeringwatch.org, by the way. You can download them for free, available on the homepage. Print them locally. Passing on such aids, informational aids, can have a profound impact. And what's the primary goal? to inspire those around us to actually investigate the facts and not to view the world through preconception and bias, to encourage them to personally challenge their preconceptions and ideologies, to get them to look around, and most especially to look up and take note of the ongoing weather warfare that's taking place in skies all over the globe, directly above their heads. Again, I ask, what will our priorities be? On what will we place our focus, our efforts, our precious time? The hour has come for us all to decide what life is about and why we are here. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.